enchanté.
Hey, tidy whiteys. Welcome back to another episode of the Two Tight Ends podcast. I'm here, Neil, your co-host, with Connor.
Hey, what's going on?
And we just wanted to say right off the bat, you know, the terrible news that came out today or yesterday about Chadwick Boseman and the news that came out today about Cliff Robinson and Lou Olsen. We just wanted to say that's awful news. We feel sorry for their families, for the friends, for the whole community. You know, rest in peace to all those guys. They're all great people. And it's just really sad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit before recording, but I don't know about any of you, but Chadwick Boseman hit me really hard, and I don't know why. I mean, a lot of times when, you know, you hear an actor that you recognize or things like that that passed away, like, it definitely is sad, but it doesn't impact me as much as this one did. And I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I really liked him as an actor and kind of, like, felt a connection with him somehow. I really enjoyed all of his performances. I thought he was incredible. And even off the screen, he was just, from what I understand, a really good guy. So it was very, very sad to hear that one. And the fact that he was doing all of that while privately fighting cancer, like, no one even knew he had cancer except for, I'm assuming, close friends and relatives and things. And yeah, it was really sad. And F cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty shocking because, like you said, it was private. But you also said, you know, he made a connection with you. I can't believe the whole outpour from everybody. Yeah. Everybody is just he obviously made connections with. Rip to Chadwick, and you know, we can't forget the other guys, Cliff Robinson and Lute Olsen.
Yep.
Just sad couple of days. But
that's been a sad week, honestly.
That's true. That goes right into our next topic. The NBA protested, along with a lot of the sporting world, protested the shooting of Jacob Blake. By canceling or not showing up to the games, and then that, you know, sort of what's the word I'm looking for?
Boycotting was cascaded. The word. Yeah, I mean, like, they
boycotted, but then that cascaded.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, they boycotted the games, and then that kind of trickled down into basically the entire world of entertainment in general. Excuse me. And a lot of that came through with MLB. They were delaying games. They decided to postpone games. NFL teams were canceling practices even the day after all of this was going on. And the NBA pretty much refused to play until they came to some kind of agreements to do something to remediate the injustice that's been going on, and how they can, as an organization, they can help.
They could take action.
Exactly. To help take action and fix it somehow. You know, they're not, they're not going to fix everything, but basically implementing ways that they can, or a system where they can help fix it.
Mm-hmm. Using their voices. And yeah, the NBA boycotted the games, got a couple of days of the playoff games canceled. And then they were, you know, I heard the Milwaukee Bucks, they were trying to talk to the Attorney General of Wisconsin because the shooting happened in Wisconsin. And not only that, the NBA, the NBA Players Union, governors, they all had a huge meeting, and they decided to continue playing, but they agreed on a few different things that the NBA could take action with, you know. And one of those was to establish a coalition that would focus on getting access to for the next election. And that included if a team owned most of their stadium, they would, you know, allow that. They would set up a voting area there, you know, get the word out about that. Raising awareness, getting voter access up. And, you know, they're just putting in that. They put in that agreement. And so because of that, they were like, okay, we'll continue to play then. So the NBA returned today, actually recording this on the 29th. Anything to add about that, Connor?
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's just look at the examples that these guys are setting, where if there's something that you don't agree with, do something about it. And that can come in the form of protest, which has been happening a lot right now. But the biggest action you can take is getting out and voting. So make sure you register to vote mm-hmm. and make a change if you want to see that change is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And me and Connor were texting during the week and we were both agreeing, like we're kind of we liked how the NBA handled it. You know, they didn't make the buck because the Bucks were the first team to boycott it. You know, they didn't just hand the Bucks a loss, try to go on with the games. No. The NBA just seems very, very, they'll take a step back. They'll listen, you know, okay, you guys want to protest. All right. You guys can protest. Let's talk about this. Like, yes, we still want to continue, but how do we continue in the right way? You know?
Yeah. And I feel like Adam Silver has always kind of been one of those like leading guys in that sense, because he's always been able to handle social situations and the social climate in such a like professional but also meaningful way that I don't know. I wish Adam mm-hmm. Silver was just like the commissioner of all sports, because I think he handles things so
the world
well.
Would be better.
The right? world would be a better place. But no, I agree with you. I think the NBA handled it very well. And I mean, it did accomplish a lot of what was going on, because I saw some people on social media kind of saying like, this isn't accomplishing anything. No one's watching the playoffs anyway. And I said, yeah, but you're talking about it, right? Like, mm-hmm. and I saw another guy comment and say like, I don't even watch the playoffs. All I'm hearing about the NBA playoffs is on the news. I'm like, okay, so the news is talking about it too. So people are hearing about it no matter what. And it's still like job well done, basically, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say, because yeah. they accomplished what they were trying to accomplish, whether people agreed with it or not.
Right. And yeah, they're going to ruffle some feathers by doing that. But like you're saying, they set out for something and they accomplished a few things. But obviously their target is bigger. And it just seems like a step in the right direction. So
exactly.
I'm happy to see what they did.
Yeah. And with all that, talking about Adam Silver and the way he handled it, while this was all going on, Roger Goodell even now came out and said that the NFL would have benefited having had a conversation with Kaepernick back when he started kneeling. And I mean, I guess
it's pretty big.
It's big for him to say that, but also like mm-hmm. it's a little too late to say sorry, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just my opinion. I never agreed with the way the NFL handled the whole Kaepernick thing. Like, not even talking about what he stood for or what he was trying to accomplish, but just the fact that he is an American citizen who is peacefully protesting, and that's the way it got handled. I never agreed with that personally, but that's just my personal opinion.
So I think the NFL, honestly, I think they're taking a few steps. They're realizing, it seems like they're realizing a few things that they've been doing wrong, and hopefully it fixes it.
Yeah, I shouldn't say it's too late to say sorry, because that's also basically saying that nobody can change. You're not allowed to change, mm-hmm. and that's not right. You know, people can definitely change. So I think it's great that Roger Goodell is kind of taking those steps in the right direction. And I guess, you know, actually applaud the NFL for having these tough conversations.
Yeah, better late than never, right?
It's true. Better late than never, for sure.
Better late than never, the old cliche. Well, that was the controversial, the sad, all that, the news in the sporting world. Let's move on to some more lighthearted stuff going on. The Defensive Player of the Year award was announced. Giannis Antetokounmpo won it.
Wow, I was just impressed you said his name correctly. Like, no stuttering, no nothing.
Yeah, I've been practicing in the mirror, actually, this morning. I was practicing.
For how long, though?
You got it wrong. At least 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, committed.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to mess it up. I was nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's fair.
Yeah, he wins the Defensive Player of the Year, which, in my opinion, he should win the MVP. So it's a short list of players who've won the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year in the same year, which, like I said, I think he should get. So it's impressive, man. It's impressive. He's leading the team with, I think, the number one defense in the league. I could be wrong about that. Don't quote me. I did not look it up. But I think they have the best, or one of the best, defensive ratings in the team. He's a monster. I mean, he's a freak. He can guard every position. Yeah. I mean, why? Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to say real quick, I didn't really hit the three finalists. I think they all could have won it.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I did think Giannis would win it. Like I said, one of the better defensive teams, but Anthony Davis was another finalist. Rudy Gobert was a finalist. Like, I think I could have seen all of them win it.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I don't think Rudy should have won it. I definitely think he was a finalist, but I think it was definitely a tight race between Giannis and Anthony Davis for sure. So congratulations to Giannis, definitely.
Yeah. And what do you think, Connor? Do you think he'll get the MVP?
I don't think he'll get the MVP, honestly.
Really? Who do you think it'll be then?
I think he should get the MVP. I think that they might end up giving it to LeBron, though. I don't know why. I just have this feeling it's going to be a LeBron year where they tack on another one for him. And because, let's be real, LeBron could be MVP every year, really. And but they can't do that. So they give it to other guys, you know, occasionally. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it definitely could be LeBron, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate that. I mean, I gave this reason, I think one of the first episodes we had, but I'll just do a quick little summary. Like, Giannis won it last year. Him and the team have only gotten better. So why, you know, it just makes sense to give it to him.
Yeah, but I mean, in that regard, that's kind of like your argument for the most improved player, where it's like, oh, you take a guy who's like, you know, give the most improved to like a young guy, and then the next year he does better, like he should do better. So it's kind of
a team is a little different. The team actually,
I guess, better, that's true. Yeah, it's a team as a whole, a lot, bit better. Yeah,
yeah, but a little. So Andre Drummond got one first place vote. I don't understand. Connor, can you help me out there?
I mean, he's a big guy and he's good at guarding people. So first place.
I actually like Andre Drummond. It's kind of unfortunate he got traded to Cleveland. Another thing we should have talked about the other episode that happened. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I kind of thought he was still on the Pistons for a second. I was like, wait, no, he's somewhere else.
Yeah, he's on Cleveland now, one of the worst teams in the NBA. How did he get one, not even just a vote, one first place vote? That seems crazy. Whoever did that, I don't know. Should they have a job? I don't know.
I wonder if it's one of those people, though, that, like, you know, when you go to vote and they, like, write in Han Solo or something. I don't know. Like, they were just kind of like, you know, they're what? Right. I know he's not going
to. Han Solo is.
I know they're not going to.
Drummond is Han Solo for the NBA.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. They were like, he's not going to get it, but I like him as a player. I think he does a great job. So let me give him a first place vote just because.
Maybe he's a beat writer for Cleveland. Probably. I don't know. But why would they have a vote?
He's like the one guy that's like, I don't know why Andre Drummond is not in the finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. And so he gave him the first place vote.
Another one, though, Patrick Beverley got one first place vote, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Pat Bev's always known as a lockdown guy, but it's interesting to give him a first place vote.
And then him and Bam, I'm going to mess this name up. Adebayo, crap.
You didn't practice that one. You did not.
But he got two first place votes. Okay. I think both him and Patrick, they were kind of injured. They were a little injured this year. So I think maybe if they weren't injured, maybe they'd be a little higher on this list. But yeah, pretty interesting. Kawhi Leonard got zero first place votes. Again, if he played more of the season, he's got to be up there.
Oh, you know? For sure. I mean, did you see the snag he made in the game with the Mavs? Like, how do you not give that guy a defensive vote?
Yeah, he's great.
It's like he caught a baseball. He was just like, snag, I'll take this now.
Yep. This is mine now.
Yeah.
We just thought that was 100 driven, man. You know what? Props to him. I hope he gets more first place votes next year.
For sure. I mean, I like Underdrum as a player. I don't have anything against him. So good for him. Yeah. Just kind of an odd pick where, like you said, the Cavs are like one of the worst teams. And then they're like, yeah, give it to Andre Drummond. He's a big name. it's almost like it's someone with a ballot who hasn't been following basketball. Like, who's a good defensive player? Oh, Andre Drummond. He's a big name. I'll put him in there.
I saw Andre Drummond 2 years ago. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. He's got to be up there, right?
Exactly. They're playing 2K from 2 years ago, so they forgot.
Yeah. Let's talk.
Should we talk about a little bit these games coming up? Should we talk about these games coming up and kind of some news regarding those, like the fact that Kristaps is out now with a torn meniscus?
Yeah, dude. Like, that's such a bummer for not only Kristaps, hope for a speedy recovery from him.
Definitely.
But man, for the Mavericks,
it's a huge hit. I mean, do the Mavs? I mean, obviously, do they still have a chance at this point? Do you think
they did win without him that one night? That, I mean, Luka had a wild game, hit a game winning shot. It was amazing. So
that's true.
They won without him.
That's true.
But also, Pandemic P, as they're calling him, he had a bad game that day. The last game he had before the protest boycotted, canceled everything. He had a good game. You know, he had a really good game, shot it really well. Let's see if he's more consistent. If he's more consistent out of the gate, I don't think they have a chance.
I don't think if he plays well, I agree with you. If he plays well, I don't think they have a chance, because then they're going to have to start calling him Bounce Back P or something.
Oh my gosh.
Although that sounds really bad. Bounce Back P sounds like, you know, when you're like taking a leak and like little bits like fly out of the toilet. That's kind of what Bounce Back P sounds like.
Bounce Back. Oh, jeez. I still think the Clippers are settling into a rhythm. They are at full strength for the first time in, I think, the whole year. Honestly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I think they're like, Montrez just got back right before playoffs. Uh-huh. He's still settling in.
Yep.
He is a sixth man of the year finalist. I don't think he's been playing like it. So, you know, that could be a big thing. Lou Williams only had like one great game. But in Pandemic P, if he starts shooting, like I said, they're still settling in, I think.
Yeah, it's weird because it
could get worse.
It's scary though at the same time, because could you imagine an LA Western Conference showdown, and you have a healthy in rhythm Clippers versus a healthy in rhythm Lakers? Like that would be a great game.
I can't wait. I think that's what everybody's hoping for.
Oh, so, for sure. Yeah. Everyone wants the LA showdown. I mean, that would basically be like the actual finals. Let's be real. Is the LA showdown if that happens.
It might be. It's kind of sad it can't be in the finals, but
yeah,
man, I'm so excited. But yeah, no, with Kristaps out, it's going to be hard. I mean, Luka has to do a lot. And a little shout out to Trey Burke. I think Trey Burke's been playing amazing lately. He's been great off the bench for them. But it's not going to be enough. Like, that's a big thing to replace Kristaps for him.
Yeah, it's true. And, like, I know Seth Curry has some breakout games, too, every once in a while for them, where he'll just shoot lights out and get, like, 12, 15 points off the bench. Which, I mean, that's really all you're looking for those bench guys, is just to, like, keep you in a game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he'll have a good game every once in a while, but I don't think it's enough to really keep him in.
Mm-hmm. Also, Russell Westbrook. You know, inadvertently, this sort of boycott kind of, I think, helped him out a little bit, because now he's back. He's going to be playing in, is that today, game 5?
Yeah, that's actually going on right now as we're recording.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he's back. He's ready to go for them. I think that's a huge lift to a series that was really tight already. And, you know, you get a little extra burst now. Harden doesn't have to do everything. Yeah, I think that's great for the Rockets.
Yeah, agreed. I wonder how it'll affect them, though, like having that other superstar talent alongside James Harden, though, because sometimes, you know, you get used to a way a flow of a game goes, especially when you're in the middle of a series, and then you have a guy like Russ come back in who can take over. I mean, sometimes it disrupts that chemistry a little bit, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it fits in.
That's true. Maybe it'll affect today's game. Like, yeah, he's kind of getting back into it. He's trying to settle in.
So with the series, correct me if I'm wrong. Series tied at 2, right?
Correct.
2 apiece.
Correct. Yeah.
Who do you have at this point? Who do you think is going to take it?
I'm still, my pick earlier in the earlier episode was the Thunder in 7, and I'm still going to go with that.
Okay. I think. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I just think because, I mean, you brought up a good point. I think he might take a game or something to get back to like the rhythm being in the team and everything. So I think today that might affect them negatively a little bit. So my prediction is today, OKC is going to win, next game, Rockets, and then it comes down to game 7. Yeah.
And you're saying OKC in 7, right?
I think OKC. Yep.
All right. I'm gonna go the opposite, because I did say if Russ missed more than like two games or more or whatever, that OKC was gonna take it. I thought it would be a little bit more clearly defined, but now that I've seen
it's still up in the air, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally still up in the air. But like now that it's totally up in the air, now that I've seen the way the series has played out, I think it's gonna be the Rockets in 7, because I'm going the opposite. I think. Not the opposite mentality in terms of, I do think the Rockets are going to struggle tonight a little bit, and then I think they're going to get into it game 6, and then they're going to take it 7.
Yeah, and to be fair, maybe Russ takes a quarter to get into it, you know.
Yeah, true. He'll be fine after that. We don't even know.
Who knows? But also, I mean, the Rockets have been playing great without him already. And it's just like, it's just more to worry about now.
Yeah, so maybe it's true.
It's just exactly what they need to push it over the edge.
Yeah. And in terms of still in round one, I mean, the Jazz looked like they were just going to take that gentleman's sweep. And then the Nuggets came back in that game five and looked to tighten up the series a little bit more. What do you think there? Do you think Jazz are going to blow it, or do you think they got it this next game? Or do you think it's going to go to seven?
I think it's going to be extended. Yeah, I think it might go to seven.
Okay.
I just think Jokic looked great. Murray is going off right now.
True.
What was the stat you showed me, Connor, about Jamal Murray?
Oh, man.
It was.
I wish I could remember. I'll pull it up, but it's something like he has an insane amount of points.
He has like 90 points and zero turnovers in the last two games, something like that.
Let me pull it up right now. Yeah, he has. It's right here. In the last two games, so in their, let's see, game five and game four, I believe is what this is referring to, he's had 92 points shooting over 50%, well over 50%, 35 for 57, with 15 assists and zero turnovers.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going off right now.
Yeah, if he keeps going back or keeps coming with it, you know, Donovan Mitchell's going to keep coming with it. I think it's going to be the next few games are going to be good, but I think it'll go to seven. Man, I don't know who I picked, though. Like, I don't know who I would pick to win in game seven.
Yeah, I had the Nuggets originally. I don't know. I could see the Jazz winning this. The problem is they're so dependent on, like, getting into a shooting rhythm, where this last game just felt like they never got into a rhythm. And because of that, they just fell off a little bit. I mean, not that they didn't keep it close. Like, I think it went to overtime, right? Game five did. I'm pretty sure it went into overtime, even though the Jazz had the lead for a little while.
I can't remember, to be honest with you. It seems like ages ago.
I can't remember either, but I'm pretty sure it went into overtime. And the Jazz had the game for most of it and then just kind of fell through in the end, went to overtime, and then the Nuggets won by like 10. So I don't know. I think they're just a little too reliant on like having the hot hand. And if they don't have that hot hand, then they can't close out on defense either.
Yeah, their defense still isn't looking great, which is usually their, you know, we said it before, it's usually their hallmark, but
yeah.
No, I think, man, it's tough. I like the Jazz, though. I think if it goes to game seven, I think Donovan Mitchell's going to have a performance. So I'd pick the Jazz still.
All right.
Actually, I think I picked the Nuggets first. So I'm going back. I'm picking the Jazz now.
Okay. So let's look into round two. The Bucks and the Heat are officially lined up now to face each other.
Because the Bucks beat Orlando today,
yep.
As right before we started recording.
Yep. Which something I wanted to point out, because I don't think he gets talked about enough. You've kind of talked about this, saying you're glad he's been getting the recognition lately that he deserves. But dude, Vucevic is a monster. He had like similar stats to Giannis in this last game, in game five.
Yeah.
And I thought that was incredible.
Let me tell you, Vucevic, he's been doing this in the background. He's been doing this for years now, and he's finally getting his recognition. He's such a good player. Like, he added his three-point shot. I believe last year he started shooting a lot more. Like, and he's good at it. He's always been good down low. Like, he's just such a good player. He's kind of like a Jokic light almost, because he's a pretty solid passer too.
Yeah. Did you just call him Jokic Light?
Jokic Light, yeah.
He's the light version of Jokic.
But no, he's always performed like this. This is his first All-Star selection this year happened. But last year in the playoffs, he performed pretty well. Like, he's always been doing this. It's just he plays in Orlando. Nobody gives a shit about Orlando. So
true.
Yeah, I'm finally. Yeah, like you said, I'm glad that he's finally getting some recognition, man. It's good.
Yeah. But wasn't enough to stop the Bucks. So, Bucks Heat, nope. Who you got?
Man, that's a tough one. I think I said it in our prediction when we made our predictions. Miami's going to be the tough out. I think one of the more tough outs.
Yeah.
For the Eastern side.
Yeah, I agree. And I know, you know, we talked about the fact that the Magic won that first game against the Bucks. That. It just seemed like they didn't expect the level of competition once playoffs start. Like, they were kind of used to the way that the regular season went and the bubble kind of went. And then the Magic came out so strong, and it almost like they caught them on their heels. I feel like the Heat might be able to bring that even more, because they're just like a bunch of junkyard dogs mm-hmm. out there, man. Like they are,
well,
they are scrappy. They have
similar playing styles, you know, hard nosed defense, you know, get out in transition, stuff like that. Then to the Magic, it's just they have way more talent than the Magic.
Yeah, that's true. So, that's very true.
I think as far as besides maybe Toronto, I think the Miami's the other team that they didn't want to play.
Yeah. Like, I can definitely see that.
They have a few things to throw at them. I mean, besides Bam, I'm not going to try his last name again.
yeah, please don't.
Besides Bam, as far as size goes, Bam like matches up with Giannis size wise, mm-hmm. but Giannis is a little quicker, I think.
For sure.
But besides that, they do have like wings to throw at him, but they're all undersized compared to Giannis. But they still have really good defensive wings, and Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler's, I'm sure, going to match up a few times. So they have a few things. And then all those guys can still match up with their other wing players. So it's really like up to Giannis to create a lot of things there.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
And it's like mentioned Giannis.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like you mentioned, Giannis can cover every position. He's just a crazy freak like that, but he can't mm-hmm. be in every place at once. So
yeah.
it'll be interesting. It'll be a very interesting matchup. I agree.
I think I'm going to say Bucks in six, though. I still think they have enough to do it.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards the Bucks, but I just want to see a cool story, so I'm going to say Heat in seven.
Okay. I would love for it to go to seven. I love game seven, so give me a game seven, please. But
anytime, any day of the week.
Anytime. All right. We'll go on to the next one. The Toronto Raptors and the Celtics are matching up. That was determined a while ago because they both swept their series.
Yep.
But they start it tomorrow, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, their first game's tomorrow.
That was something I wanted to point out when we were talking about the boycotting that started. The Bucks did start it, but the Raptors and Celtics were actually the ones that kind of initiated the conversation mm-hmm. and were like hinting at that's what was going to happen for the first round of first game of the second round in the East. Mm-hmm. And then when everything was happening, Bucks just decided, you know what, we're shutting it down right now. So mm-hmm. yeah, so technically the Bucks did kick it off, but I definitely think that conversation between, because it said that the teams were talking with each other, so definitely between Boston and Toronto, that's what ignited that spark for sure.
Yeah, they definitely helped that. It's an interesting series because Toronto has a little bit more size than Boston, I feel like.
Yes,
they're a little bit longer, a little bit bigger.
Are you including Kyle Lowry in that or no?
What's that?
Are you including Kyle Lowry in that or no?
Well, I mean, Kyle and Kemba kind of cancel themselves out as far as size goes. I guess that's true. Right? But I'm just talking big man. I mean, Marc Gasol, is he going to be? I think it's going to be interesting if Marc Gasol is in the game, if he's influencing the game. Then I think that's a big factor for them, because who's going to freaking guard Marc Gasol? Like Theis, maybe, but he's kind of smaller. He's not a great defensive guy. I'm just thinking like
Marc
can do a few things. He can post up a little bit. He can pass from the post. Like,
yeah.
I think that's going to be an interesting matchup to look out for.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Marc is definitely a little bit more of a Swiss Army knife big man. Like mm-hmm. pretty much like big men are starting to turn into, but he's mm-hmm. definitely one of the more seasoned vets that's able to do it well.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. It's going to be tough to guard him if he is influencing games. But another thing is,
but if he's not, if they play into the small ball, then that's going to be. I think they match up very evenly if Marc isn't a huge influence.
Yeah, I think Boston takes the edge a little bit just with the guys they have, that young talent like we've talked about, and the crazy stats that they've put up. I think they're a little they edge out a little bit against Toronto, but I agree it's pretty even.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. It's like the top guys kind of edge out the top guys of Toronto, I think, a little bit, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about it before. Toronto's bench or Boston's bench is one of the worst benches in the league versus yeah. Toronto, which is one of the best
benches. Yeah. What was the thing exactly. that just came out that Toronto's bench had like over 100 playoff points, which has never been done before?
in the final game versus Brooklyn, Toronto dropped 150 points, which is insane.
Yeah.
And their bench had 100 points.
Yeah.
Which was the record, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was an NBA record, which was incredible. So, again, best bench against worst bench, but you've got the starters who kind of edge out the others. I don't know. I think you're right. It'll be a really great series to watch. It'll be interesting how they kind of divide minutes between guys.
Mm-hmm. So what's your prediction for it then?
I think I've got Boston in, I'm going to say, six or seven. Six.
I know. Okay. Boston six. I'm going to say Toronto in seven.
Okay.
I think they have a little bit more depth, and I like it a little more. So
Fair enough. I like it. I mean, I think we're in the market for great basketball no matter what. Let's be honest with all these series.
There's going to be less sweeps this time, right?
In the first round. One can hope. We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see.
It's going to be good.
Speaking of stuff in basketball, though, let's talk about the stuff that we hate in basketball right now.
Yeah,
let's talk about it. I'm starting to notice a trend when it comes to how fouls are called in basketball, and I'm starting to get a little annoyed, I'll be honest, because I was watching the, right before we started recording, I was finishing up the game between the Bucks and the Magic, and I noticed that Chris Middleton was going up for just a like normal mid-range jump shot, and the defender, I can't remember who it was, might have been Terrence Ross, might have been someone else, I don't remember, but he went to like jump up just to kind of, you know, attempt to guard him. I don't know. It wasn't even like he was trying to block the shot or anything. He was just, you know, putting a little defense on him. Well, I guess he leaned in a little bit and Chris decided to just like jump into him and then take a shot and hope for an and one. And it just kind of got me thinking that, like, why is that called a foul? Why is that called a foul on the defender when the guy with the ball is clearly jumping into him to draw that? I think that's bullcrap. I think that needs to change. And now I'm not saying that Harden's game would be totally taken away if that happened.
Here we go.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Harden doesn't have some of the nastiest handles in the game, some of the greatest stroke in the game. Like, he's a nasty player all around. But the other half of his game is drawing fouls. And now knowing Harden, I'm sure that he would adapt if that wasn't the case. And he would just find another way to, like,
take. You already made my point for me. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, I know he would find a way to adapt and to take advantage of whatever system is in place. But I just think that needs to change. I don't like it. I think it's garbage that guys can just jump into the other one and draw a foul.
I think, first of all, yeah, like I said, my point has been made. He already made it. James Harden would adapt. He's so good. He has all the skills. It's just, you know, they allow him to do that, to draw all those fouls, so he does it. But as far as the I didn't see the shot exactly, so maybe I think there's, because the NBA has said that if, you know, you can't jump into them. They've said that.
Right, now, right.
Like, I agree. It doesn't always happen. Or they do call it a lot. Too much. But let me play maybe devil's advocate for a little bit. I think that if they actually reffed it a little better, in the sense that if you are going up, you do a pump fake and it's great. You know, you get the guy in the air and then you still take your normal shot and he hits you, then yeah, that's foul. But like you're saying, there's a lot of leaning now. There's a lot of trying to get into it. So if it doesn't look like a natural like motion, which is what the NBA has said, they don't want it to be called, but they still call it. If it's not a natural motion and they're kind of leaning into it or, you know, trying to get the foul, then yeah, that shouldn't be called. I agree. So I don't know exactly what happened in that situation, but it's hard. Some of the calls are hard, a fine line. Like, it could, you know, I feel like some of them are one way, or it could go either way, but some of them, like, I think this goes to a whole overarching, like, the refs have not been great this bubble, but some of the calls are just like, what, how is this? Like, I was texting you the other day Actually, let me bring up that text real quick. I was texting you about this guy who, you know, he, I don't even remember the situation exactly, but he, they were, it was a fast break. The defender put his hands up after a pump fake, but he's standing still. And then the player, after the pump fake, he comes up and then he jumps into him. Like you're kind of saying, he jumps into his arms, but the defender, this thing, not even that he leaned into it, but the defender had already had his hands up. He's established his position and he's just sitting there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called a foul on him.
That's what I'm saying. And I was just like, that's exactly what I'm saying. Believe it. Like at this point you can't even like lean in a little bit to try to guard again. Like yeah. So many guys are putting their hands behind their backs when they defend guys because they're going to get called for every little, that's what I'm saying is like, I just feel like it's getting ridiculous. All the little nitpicky calls because you can't even defend a guy without getting a foul call, and it's insane. Like you might as well not even play defense at this point. Like just have a shootout and see who wins.
That's how some of the games are going. Some of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think the NBA reffing overall has not been great during the bubble. Like I feel like a lot of the calls are late. A lot of calls are bad. They're just blatant. I don't know. I feel like they're, and I was a, let me flex a little bit. I reffed Little League or House League, you know, whatever you want to call it, when I was, you know, 16 or whatever.
Wow. What and a flex.
Yeah, such a flex. And in the training, the guy would always be like, you know, you don't anticipate a call. You call what you see, right?
Right.
You don't anticipate it. And I feel like that's what they're doing right now is they're kind of anticipating a lot of things.
That's fair. But it's not good. Well, and then the worst thing, though, is, okay, so I had a buddy who reffed basketball in college, like rec or what are those called? Intramurals?
He's not better than me, but okay, go.
No, you're much better. You're much better, I promise. But no, but he was telling me how, like, even if you, like, even if something happens and you're like, oh, crap, I missed that call, you can't say that. They even teach that in, like, the reffing school or what, like the classes you have to take to become a ref. They're like, if something happens and you're like, oh crap, I missed that, you have to say I didn't see it, because then you can't, like, you know, get the, you can't get flagged for it or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. But point is like, I've seen so many refs doing that where like players or coach will go talk to them and I'll like kind of try to read their lips, and a lot of them I see saying that is like, I didn't see it, coach. And I'm just like, this is garbage. And the craziest one to me was, oh man, who was it? Was it Quinn Snyder or Brad Stevens? I can't remember which coach it was, but he was yelling at his own player and the ref teed him up.
That's the other thing. Let's talk about that.
Let's.
Is the freaking technical fouls have been insane. I mean, what was it? Game one of the Clippers and Mavs? Kristaps got called for, did we talk about this?
I don't
we're
remember.
Five episodes in, Connor, how do we not remember?
Oh, dude, I don't know, because we don't care, we don't keep track of stuff, we don't even like each other outside of the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, like the technical fouls I feel like have been crazy.
They have been a little quick on the trigger there.
Everybody's on a short leash, yeah. I guess, and like you can't even because Kristaps called on the first tech in the game one,
yeah,
that he had,
yep.
He was like showing emotion. He's showing too much emotion, but it's like, he celebrated after a block or something. And then he was done. And they called a tech on that. It's like, what do you,
well, and what? It's funny you say that, because we've also been talking about how ridiculous the Rockets are when they don't get calls, or when the other team gets the same calls, yeah, that they get all the time. I'm sorry, you guys can chill out, because you guys get all the calls in the world, and then as soon as they're not getting every call their way, they whine like the biggest bunch of babies I've ever seen. And so you're saying like everyone's on a short leash and that the refs are a little trigger happy with the techs. Mike D'Antoni was screaming in their faces in like game three. He was screaming in their faces at them and they wouldn't throw him out, and I had no idea why. I was like, just eject him already, he won't stop talking.
Yeah. It also depends on the refs too.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
The certain refs will, yeah, but man, I don't know, the techs I just feel like have been flying too much, and then sometimes not at all. But yeah, the Rockets, not even just Rockets, I do agree with you, but I feel like a lot of NBA players will, or basketball players, let's just be honest, they'll complain about a no call or about a call, But then you see on the replay that they obviously did it, and you're like, what?
Yeah, why what are you complaining? I know. I think I respect the players the most when they'll like foul someone and put their hand up. Like, that was me. I did it. Mm-hmm. That was me. I was like, man, good for you. Way to just call yourself on it. But yeah, and you know something that just came to mind when we're talking about like, oh, it depends on the ref and some are trigger happy, some aren't, blah, 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 blah. I wonder if, you know, the bubble, well, I don't wonder. I bet that the bubble is affecting them the same way it's kind of affecting the players. We're like, they're probably seeing all these guys a lot. You know, I'm sure the refs kind of have like their own area. Like, they're probably not like hanging out with the coaches, but like they, you know, they have their own area where they're like, you know, have their ref bubble or whatever you want to call it. But I bet the bubble's kind of affecting them too, where like, you know, they got to be stuck here. And so like some are getting a little trigger happy where they're like, I'm just fed up with this shit. So they like, just tech them.
Letting their emotions get the best of them.
Exactly. Huh? It happens. Yeah. It happens to the best of us.
You know what? Real quick about the refs, we didn't mention before. They actually led during the whole protest. They led a march around the bubble.
Yeah,
which That's was true. pretty cool to see. But screw the refs. I hate them. I've been tired of the complaining. But the Rockets seem like one of the worst offenders of it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm sorry, but I can't even watch the Rockets half the time now because when calls aren't going their way, they are just like screaming at the refs. They're so livid. And I'm like, guys, come on. You play the system all the time. And when you're getting those calls, you're not saying a word.
Yeah.
But okay, one more thing that's bothering me, though. Can we talk about the fact that Russell Westbrook has the worst facial hair in the NBA? I just have to say.
Do you want to? What pick are you looking at? Like,
I was watching him warm up before we started recording, bro. Okay. He has like the daintiest little mustache. I'm not saying I have the best facial hair in the world. I have a decent beard, though. I will say that my mustache is not great. I will give it that. Yeah. But his is like he just has like hair, little sprouts in the corner of his lips, and then like the smallest little stubble on his chin. But like he always has it. Like he shaves it that way almost. Because he can't grow it anywhere else. And I don't get it. I'm like, dude, just shave it off. You won't look any different.
Have you tested this theory? You know, you've gone through the pictures of every facial hair in the league and just made sure his was the worst?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, you heard it here first.
it's official.
It's official. I trust him wholeheartedly.
Whatever, dude. I don't care, man. If you believe me or not. It's facts.
Maybe it's just, you know, the yin and yang, the Harden has the best facial hair, so Russell has to have the worst.
You know what? You got me. All right. I get it now.
Okay. Well, Connor, let's move on to baseball. Go ahead. Let's our resident baseball guy, Connor.
Oh, that's me. I'm the baseball expert now?
You're the baseball expert.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot has happened in baseball. Like, nothing like really big lately. The Giants were on a 7-game win streak. That was pretty cool. And then immediately lost 3 afterwards. So that sucked. I mean, not much to say there. But, oh, you know what I do want to talk about? Okay, so we talked a lot about scheduling last week where COVID was just ruining schedules. And I went to go follow up on that a little bit. And I found some interesting stuff because we know that, like, the Cardinals were a big perpetrator. The Marlins were, like, the first. The Reds were also a perpetrator. The Mets were also in on it at one point. Okay, so I found some interesting information out because I went and looked at the standings, and the Cardinals are currently placed at second in the NL Central, but they have played 10 games less than everyone else in that division.
So do you know, the standings are based off of the record straight up, right?
Yep. The standings are based off of the winning percentage, and so but they play 10 games less.
Right.
Just like the standings are set up the same as any other sport. It's based off the record. And so now the Marlins are the second in the NL East, and they still haven't made up their missed games either. Like they still have less games than everyone else in their division. And the Mets aren't as far back. They're third in the NL East. But like so Marlins are second in NL East and the Mets are right behind them, but they aren't as far back as the rest of the division because they only missed like 2 games or something, I think. But I just thought, I found it interesting that how are they going to like rule? I mean, obviously those teams have to make up those games at some point, but like how does that work? And then how does that affect the standings? Because what if it ends up where the Cardinals do end up not playing every single game they're supposed to and take like second in NL Central? I mean, that's not fair.
I don't think it'll count, but yeah, it brings up a weird, it's kind of like they're waiting for all the information to get in, like the standings is.
Yeah.
The standings are waiting for all the information, and we just don't have all the information.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting because then going again to looking towards the future with the NFL, what happens if COVID hits the NFL? They only play 16 games a season. So then how does that affect them? And when do they make it up? Yeah. How do they make it up, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea how that's going to work. But
glad I'm not in charge.
It's a weird stat. But hey, that one big thing that happened with the MLB is Giolito, I think I'm saying that right, Lucas Giolito, he pitched a no-no for the White Sox, right?
Yeah, it was the first no-no of the season.
It was awesome.
I mean, it's the only no-no so far.
What's that?
It's the only no-no so far. There was a close one. I want to say it was a Dodgers pitcher. I can't remember, but it was earlier, and then that got broken up, so it wasn't an actual no-no.
It was awesome. 13 Ks. Over 101 pitches. That's a good outing right there.
Yeah, that's a great outing.
It's a great outing.
I mean, that's like a little over 10 pitches an inning. So yeah, not bad at all. Not bad. Claps awesome. For Giolito.
Yeah. Hey, props. All right. Well, we say on this podcast we don't want to just talk about sports. So we're gonna introduce a new little segment. Not even sure what we're gonna call it yet. But right now,
we probably should have came up with a name.
Maybe
that would have been a good idea.
But
amateurs. Sorry.
Maybe there's a suggestion out there what we could call it.
Yeah, send us your suggestions.
I guess right now we'll just call it Debate Corner. Debate Club, something like that.
Debate Club.
Yeah, we just want to.
Any suggestions? Send to twotightends@gmail.com. The two is spelled out TWO.
Yeah, if you have anything, let us know. But yeah, we just want to, I have some strong opinions about some weird topics. So let's just get into it, man. Connor, give me some of your best and worst fast food restaurants and let's see if we agree.
Oh, okay. I'll just give you my favorite, I think the best, and then straight up worst. Okay. Best, Taco Bell. I will go to Taco Bell any day of the week.
Number one,
it's
huh?
So good. I don't care that it's the same ingredients in everything. I don't care that people talk about that it gives them the runs. They're weaklings. Get a stronger,
it's kinda worth
get a
it,
stronger
though, isn't
stomach.
It, those runs.
I don't even get them. I don't know what people are talking about. Everyone talks about how they like can't go to Taco Bell or what, and all the memes that come from it. Shh, whatever. Get a stronger stomach, you weakling. But no, Taco Bell is the absolute best. Absolute worst, Long John Silver's. Why is it still in existence? I don't understand. Fast food fish is the worst idea. Fish should not be fast. It's gross.
Or frozen, really.
Exactly. Like, it's, ugh. I've been to Long John Silver's. I think I can count on one hand how many times I've been to Long John Silver's, and I can count on the same number of fingers how many times I've been disappointed.
Well, I don't even remember the last time I went to a Long John Silver's.
I don't remember the last time I went, but I know it hasn't been often because it's disgusting.
Wow. That's, I don't think I can disagree with the, maybe not the worst, but it's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I used to work in at Wendy's, and the when the fish filet or whatever came out.
Ugh.
First of all, I don't even really like seafood at all. So, but we would cook it in the same fryer that we cooked like the chicken patties and stuff like that.
Ugh.
And then it would stink up the whole restaurant.
I hate it. Gross. I hate it. That's what like my mom.
And that's their whole menu is just fish.
Yeah. Ugh, so gross. That's like what's so funny too is because like my mom will tell me how she likes the Filet-O-Fish at McDonald's. I'm like, why? Mm. But then she tells me about a time where like the last time she went to Long John Silver's, they got like a platter of fish and this thing of chicken, and they couldn't tell the difference. And she's like, that's the last time I ever ate at Long John Silver's because I couldn't tell the difference. That's just disgusting. They're like, but you like the filet of fish at freaking McDonald's. It's gross.
Yeah, that's nasty. And do they have, does McDonald's have like a tartar sauce or something for the filet of
fish? Yeah, it's got some tartar sauce that goes on it. Disgusting.
Gross. That's gross. Well, I don't fully agree, but I don't really disagree with your rankings either.
Please do tell. Rebuttal, please.
I'm going to, do you have an, because I have one, obviously, that's why I'm bringing it up, but do you have an overrated fast food place?
Overrated? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now let me preface this a little bit. I'm not saying that this place isn't good. It's very good, but I think it's incredibly overrated. Yeah. Is In-N-Out.
Yeah.
I 100%
agree.
I don't think In-N-Out is the end all be all. Is it delicious? And will I go there every time? Sure. Like, I'll definitely go to In-N-Out. Like, it's so good. But you hear people, especially from California, talk about it, and then some, they'll even go as far as say, like, this is so much better in California. It's this freaking same. I've been to In-N-Out in California. I've been to In-N-Out, like, in Utah. It's the exact same, bud. I hate to break it to you. I've been to In-N-Out in Dallas. It's the same.
Dude, it annoys me. I agree. It's so overrated because everybody, dude, it's some people's identity.
It's true.
How good In-N-Out is some people's identity.
It's like when some people's personality is quoting The Office. Like, no, that's not a personality.
Yeah. Who would do that?
Andrew, do we need to talk?
But no, I think it's so overrated. I think straight up their burgers are actually pretty good. Like you were saying, I like their burgers.
Yeah, they're great.
They're great food, but
it's not the end all be all.
I do not like their fries. And everybody tells me, oh, you got to get animal style. I don't like animal style fries either.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I like animal style fries. But yeah, again, it's not the end all be all. Like,
their fries aren't good. They don't really, like, normal fries, straight up fries, they're not good. They don't have very much flavor. They're kind of weird. I don't know. I don't like
that's them. Fair. If honestly, small. If I had the choice between, like, Burger King fries, McDonald's fries, or, like, In-N-Out fries, or obviously Five Guys fries, I wouldn't choose In-N-Out fries above pretty much any of those.
Oh, no. And then the other thing is, while we're on the topic, is In-N-Out and Five Guys is compared all the time, which A, Five Guys isn't really like fast. It's like fast casual. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
and so
technically In-N-Out's also fast casual because you like get a number and all that junk. Mm-hmm. And it's cooked.
Yeah, but they have a drive through. That's why I think I made
Okay. That's fair. I think it's just because they always have such a long line, they have time to cook your burger.
Exactly. Dude, it's crazy. Over here, there's actually one kind of near my house, In-N-Out. And all times of day, there's always a huge line. It's wild.
Dude, that's like Chick-fil-A. Like, so Michelle and I went to Chick-fil-A today for lunch. And I was talking about how it's crazy to me that the norm for Chick-fil-A now is to have employees standing in line with iPads because their line is always so long that they can't use the normal drive-through box. That's just insane.
It's just that it's the great customer service, okay?
It's true.
That's what it is, Connor. Don't talk shit about Chick-fil-A. Okay?
I would never.
They might be my number one.
I would never besmirch the Lord's fast food chain. The
Lord's. Only open, never open on Sundays, okay? Because they're the best. But no, yeah, In-N-Out, so overrated. All right,
was that your pick for most overrated too?
Yeah,
Ayo.
It actually was. That's what I was going to bring up.
Okay, how overrated it was. All right, so wait, you didn't talk about your best or worst though.
Yeah. So my best, I mean, you brought it up. I think. I was about to say Chick-fil-A.
But
I think
now?
I'm going to have to go with McDonald's.
On what grounds, sir? On what grounds?
You know what? I was thinking about it. Okay, you brought up the fries. You were like, what fries would I pick, right?
Okay.
And I was thinking about it. And this goes for a lot of things at McDonald's, but especially the fries. It's like, I don't know if it's real or not. And that kind of weirds me out sometimes.
What? That weirds you out? No way.
When I put it in my mouth, it tastes amazing. And yes,
you say that about a lot of things, though.
I say that about pretty much everything. But no, dude, like something about McDonald's fries, they're so good.
It's true.
And like I said, like when I eat the chicken nuggets at McDonald's, like I don't know if it's real.
Oh, dude, I can't eat the chicken nuggets at McDonald's. Ugh. They're so good.
But they have the chicken tenders now, and I love the chicken tenders.
They're so good.
And then the fries. I always get a McDouble, dude. They're so good.
If we're gonna talk about like underrated things for a second, really quick, I think that the chicken nuggets at Wendy's are underrated. I will say, like, dude, I don't like most fast food chicken nuggets, because I think they taste super fake and super disgusting. Other than Chick-fil-A, obviously, they always have good quality chicken because that's what their thing is. But Wendy's nuggets are so good. They actually taste real.
I think it's weird. Like I said, I worked at Wendy's for like a year, and most people, when they work at a place, are like, oh, I got tired of this food. I didn't really eat a lot of Wendy's before I worked there, and now I actually love Wendy's.
It converted you. That's what it did.
Well, yeah, I love Wendy's is really good. I like their fries. Their chicken nuggets are, I think, one of the best chicken nuggets in the game.
Usually, yeah, usually working at a place is like a pray the gay away camp, but yours was actually like you came out.
I came out as a homosexual.
I don't think that was the word, but we can go with it.
Oh, no? That wasn't the word?
I'm telling Caitlin. Oh.
Yeah. And that's why I can't go to Chick-fil-A anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why it's not your favorite anymore.
No, okay. Yeah, I think I have to go with McDonald's just because, like, when you were talking about the fries, I'm just like, man, I can't get over those fries.
If I may rebuttal for Chick-fil-A really quick, though. Have you ever had just straight up their fries dipped in their Chick-fil-A sauce?
I don't like their Chick-fil-A sauce.
What? Okay, we're gonna have.
What you guys might learn, what the audience might learn, is I'm a very picky eater, very picky.
Which you wouldn't know by looking at them, but it's true.
Hey!
I'm kidding. You look great. You do.
I wear it well.
No, you do.
That's
you
what my great. Mom says.
That's what my mom says. Shout out, sure.
Shout out, sure.
Jeez.
But yeah, what were you gonna say?
That was it. That Chick-fil-A sauce and their waffle fries.
Their waffle fries are some of the best.
Dude, their waffle fries in their Chick-fil-A sauce, though, to me, I think rivals McDonald's fries. Just straight up. Which, okay, actually, that being said, that's a testament to McDonald's fries in itself, is I can eat McDonald's fries just straight, Chick-fil-A fries, I kind of have to have that Chick-fil-A sauce because the pairing is unmatched. But McDonald's fries can stand alone and just be amazing.
Yeah. My... Chick-fil-A, this might be what was I gonna say? What were we talking about? We were talking about Chick-fil-A fries,
Chick-fil-A sauce, and Chick-fil-A sauce, Wendy's or McDonald's fries.
I remember. So this might be one of the fattest statements I've ever said. But it sucks because Chick-fil-A fries are so good, but weirdly they don't fill me up, and B, because they're so big, you know, it just doesn't feel like a lot of fries.
If you get a box with like some of those like hubcap size waffle fries, like they definitely kind of screw you out on the opportunity to get a lot. Like it may be a bigger fry, but I want quantity over size in that sense.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a one downfall they have, which is a good downfall to have, I guess, because they're so good.
It's true.
You want more, but
that's definitely a good point. Mm-hmm. All right, I think you've convinced me. McDonald's still has the best fries in the game, but I had to play some ball for my man Chick-fil-A over there.
That's true. Chick-fil-A's, like I said, I almost picked them because I like it a lot. Their spicy chicken.
That was another point I brought up today while I was eating lunch, is why don't they have spicy nugs and strips? I don't get it. And what's funny is I've had them
for what?
For Chick-fil-A. They do not make they don't make spicy nugs
out
and strips.
Out here they have spicy strips.
Are you kidding me?
I have spicy strips.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm not kidding.
Oh my gosh, my
life. I didn't know that until I moved to Arizona.
My life. Yeah, they have. What have I done with my life? Why did I move to Arizona? Okay.
You should have come out with
me. No!
Oh, geez. All right. We'll take a quick break and...
Rip headphones, users.
Connor,
I'm sorry.
Get it under control.
I'm sorry. No, but I was bringing that up today because, like, I feel like they... I mean, granted, if they made spicy nugs and strips everywhere, it would cannibalize a lot of, like, their regular items. But I just feel like they'd be even more popular if they made spicy nugs and spicy strips, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The nuggets would be great. Oh my gosh, they don't have the nuggets here. They just have the strips.
I'm so jealous.
They're really good.
I'm so jealous.
I'm sure. I wouldn't know, but I think if you put them in Chick-fil-A sauce, they'd be really good.
I hate you. I hate you so much right now. I'm off. I'm hanging up.
That's like real quick. Like I said, I'm a really picky eater. I actually hate cheesecake.
Are you a monster? Do you hate happiness too?
Yes, actually, I hate happiness. Hello, no, my family, they love Cheesecake Factory. And so whenever I'm in my family, I just moved from Idaho. My family lives in Idaho. The closest Cheesecake Factory is like 3 hours away, right?
Like in Utah?
Yeah, it's in Utah. So whenever I'm there, I always like send them a picture or something and be like, hey, I'm at Cheesecake Factory because I like the food. It's actually a good restaurant, but I'm not going to eat cheesecake.
Okay, so I actually have to debate you on this a little bit because I don't know. I have so many mixed feelings on Cheesecake Factory, and this is why. The food is good, but I don't like how many options they have. I think it's
a little too much.
I think
much.
It's pick a lane. Well, exactly. I think it's obscene to have that many options. And also, you can't be that good at making everything. Like, I'm not saying their food's not good, but I think it could be better if they like trim down their menu a little bit and, like you said, pick a lane. I think they'd be a top tier restaurant, but they're still kind of like in that middle ground where it's like, hey, let's go here because it's kind of fun because they have 1,000 flavors of cheesecake. Like that's the appeal, is that they have so many different flavors of cheesecake. You just can't get over it. And the cheesecake is great, even though some of us are sadists and hate cheesecake. But I don't know. I think that they need to trim down their menu and they would be even better.
I agree. I think their food, while it's good, it's kind of average for a good restaurant.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially where they present
them. Maybe if they picked a lane focused on a type of food or something.
Exactly.
They'd be a little better.
Exactly. And they present themselves as such an upscale restaurant too, where you have like, you know, the servers and like white shirts and black ties and like all that stuff. But like,
yeah,
like you said, when you actually eat the food, it's not amazing. It's good, but it could be so much better.
Agreed. Wow. Look at that. Look at that.
We're friends again.
Okay, one more debate topic, or maybe we'll have more. You know what? I don't know. Cut that out, Jamie.
Who is Jamie? Why do you keep talking to him?
Ah, man. You, if only you knew.
If only you had a Jamie.
So I want to talk about your worst and or the your favorite and least favorite states.
Like the United States or like states of being?
Metaphysical is my least favorite.
Depression's my least favorite.
Oh, I love depression.
I
just like feeling sad.
We need to constantly be playing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend in the background of this segment.
No, yes. States of the U.S., because we live in the U.S. So shout out to our one Irish listener.
Hey,
for some reason, we have one.
That 1% that I keep seeing on Anchor. Shout out.
So weird. But yeah, the worst and best states. You know what? I'll start off.
Go for it.
With a worst state is, man, it's so hard to choose, but I'm going to say Ohio.
Oh, interesting. I did not expect you to go for like a somewhat popular state.
Go for
it.
You heard it here first.
Go for it.
Fuck Ohio.
Oh, jeez. I didn't know you had that strong feelings.
I think we should build a wall around Ohio. No, I'm just kidding.
And they're going to pay for it.
And you know what's crazy is there's not a lot of reason to why I hate Ohio. I just do. They suck, you know?
I thought you were going to say because you hate Ohio State fans, because I definitely do. I hate Ohio State and their fans.
You know what's a weird thing? Michigan, I'm not a big fan of Michigan either. I'm not a big fan of a lot of Midwest states. You know, I'll throw it out there.
My wife's from Michigan, so that's awkward.
Well, she'll probably agree with this, is that I've traveled a good deal. I would probably say about 75% of the lower 48 I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I think Michigan has the worst road conditions in the whole U.S.
Don't even get her dad started. My father-in-law will go on for a full half hour about the road conditions in Michigan. So you are correct, sir. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some of the nicest people there, you know, like a classic, classic Midwest state.
But also, if you go to a Meijer up there and then you find a freaking Jolly Rancher soda, it's like, what the fuck are we doing here, guys? Like, get it together. We don't need a Jolly Rancher soda.
You might not.
Apparently.
That's funny. Okay, I did not expect those answers, but I like them. I can dig it.
All right, you got some. I didn't say my best.
Well, do you want me to give you my worst, or do you want to go for your best right now?
Yeah, give me your worst.
I mean, can we just like agree to get rid of the Dakotas already? Like, why do they?
What do they do?
What do they do except for some people casually pass through south to look at Mount Rushmore? That's about it. I just don't know why they're there.
And pretty much they're there for oil. They're straight up. They're just there for
oil. That's a good point. Probably. I mean, is there any oil left in them at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they frack a lot up there.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. And that's why nobody lives up there.
But besides that, no, I kind of agree. If they didn't have oil, then let's get friggin' Canada. Take them back.
Like, you can have them.
You can have them. We don't need them.
You can have Mount Rushmore on top of that. You can have a mountain with our president's faces blasted on there. You can keep that too.
Yeah, we don't even like it. we'll create our own, a new one.
We'll create our own when we already own it.
We'll have like a more recent one. It'll be like Obama,
Bush. Got to get Bush on there.
Obama, like shooting a jump shot. Bush painting a picture. You know, he loves to paint.
Clinton doing. Oh wait, we can't put Clinton on there for that.
We're just sitting in the sitting in the Oval Office
with his hands behind his hands behind his head,
yeah, with his hands behind his back. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Dakotas, get him out of here. If I had to pick
another, I don't hate it.
If I had to pick another like worst state,
I don't know. I mean, the obvious one is Florida, right?
I mean, well, the problem is like Florida has so many good redeeming qualities, but then it's
but there's so many bad ones.
I know, but then it's balanced out by the craziness the craziness of Florida.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, because you have like great things like Disney World and the beach, mm-hmm. and like so much is like just a really cool landscape, and I don't know, there's a lot of stuff down there. But then you have guys riding
the lawlessness.
Yeah, the lawlessness, exactly. Like I remember watching some show where they were talking about like there was horse meat, like a horse meat back alley market down in Florida, and I was like, what is this? They're like, it's like another country here. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Florida is another country.
They have so many exotic animals that they just release into the wild, and then they have terrible populations of them.
Yeah, I mean, Carol Baskins is in Florida, so shout out to all my
Baskins.
Shout out to all my cute cats and kittens out there.
Oh my gosh.
don't hey, all you cool cats,
Connor,
and kittens.
Connor.
Sorry.
I'm not playing right
Sorry.
Now.
Sorry. Okay? Jamie, whoever you are, please cut that out.
Don't ever do that again. All right. Well, you can go ahead and say your favorite then.
Oh, I'm going? Okay. I honestly like Texas a lot. Not all of Texas, but Texas is like surprisingly a pretty cool state. My aunt used to live in Dallas. She lived in Dallas for a long time, so we'd visit her a lot. I had some friends that lived in Dallas, so we'd visit them. And maybe I'm just talking Dallas area specifically, but Dallas surprisingly has like a lot of stuff to it. A lot of things to do, a lot of culture, and it's really big because it encompasses like Fort Worth area and a lot of different suburbs. Because like my aunt lived in Keller and my friend lived in Grapevine, but when you talk to them, they're like, oh yeah, I live in Dallas.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I think Dallas is a really cool place, and just kind of Texas in general has these like hidden gems. Like I've heard Houston's pretty cool. It's really big, but it's kind of cool. And San Antonio's not a bad place either, so I don't know. But then the problem is like it's so big. Like I drove through Texas when I moved out here, and there is also so much nothingness to Texas. It's crazy. It's so big.
Texas is like, I think if you put a map, an overlay of Texas over Europe, it's pretty big.
Oh yeah. It encompasses like half of Europe.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's okay. So Dallas is pretty much what you said.
No, I was saying like I was saying Texas. Some of the other big cities are really cool, but I haven't been to the other big cities in Texas. So I would like to go to see what they're like. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it has these like really cool like pockets to it, but then there's a lot of nothingness in there. But I think Texas is a little underrated. Also, no sales tax. So that's pretty cool.
There you go. All right. Well, I am going to shout out my favorite state. It's probably Montana.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I said it. Montana. is probably a beautiful hidden gem in America that not a lot of people know about.
Okay. Okay.
It is. I'm just saying straight up for its beauty.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense.
Straight up for how gorgeous it is, the mountain area. I mean, I haven't been, which is unfortunate, but Glacier National Park, which is like near the border. Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
I have seen some pictures from Glacier National, and whew, that's true.
It looks incredible. I need to go. It's on the top of my list. But the places I have been in Montana are just amazing. And yeah,
I think it was
either Montana or Wyoming, honestly. And Wyoming, just because of the national parks that are there.
Yeah, that's fair.
I
think you should educate the fans on a couple things, though. One, this is coming from a boy who grew up in like the DC metro area. So that's actually a pretty big deal for him to say some backwoods place like Montana. But also, Montana is beautiful like 3 to 4 months out of the year. The rest of the time, it's a blizzard hellstorm. So I think we should also talk about that. Don't go to Montana in February. You're not going to have a good time.
Unless you're skiing.
Is there even skiing in Montana?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Big sky country, baby.
That's fair. When I think of skiing, I really just think of like Utah and Colorado. I don't think of Montana as much, but I guess, yeah, they would definitely have some skiing up there.
I did, like Connor was saying, I grew up in the suburbs of DC, and I really didn't even appreciate like the outdoors until I moved to Idaho.
Yeah, his version of outdoors was going to play basketball with his friends outside. That was the outdoors.
All right, man. I think that was a good place to stop. Everybody, thanks again for listening. Share, tell your friends, tell your family if you think they'd like this podcast. Join the Whitey Tidy Nation. Stay away from the skid marks. You can follow me. I post a lot about the Two Tight Ends podcast on my Instagram. It's The Thrill Can Kill number 5. Sorry, it's The Thrill Can Kill 5. the 5 is a number. Actually, we just started a YouTube page. It's just Two Tight Ends with the 2. We're going to be posting clips of the podcast there. So if you want to go check that out, definitely do that. Connor, what you got?
I think we learned a lot today. One, I never knew we had so many opinions. And 2, skids are for kids.
Skids are for kids. Until next week, guys. Have a good one.
Peace.